Hello. This is the song that Dale and I just wrote and recorded. Just a damn fact. All right. That's just the way it is. So am I really about to power pose this whole podcast?
It's America. Right. It's a free country.
Cool. Honestly, I wish this microphone was like 6 inches longer. Something I've heard before.
Was it the microphone?
Or not. Taller is what I meant.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can always raise the, we can raise the desk.
Dude, hop on up here with me, Dale. Raise them up.
But I can drop mine.
I'm talking about ladders on a Saturday night and the band plays a song.
I can drop mine.
You sing along. Ooh, this is way better. Thanks. How's that? So what should I be going for in terms of volume and distance? Because here's the deal. If one of us is louder, it's going to suck the whole time for everyone listening.
It normalizes.
What?
Yeah.
And y'all are incredible.
Once I put it into the audio thing, it normalizes the sound.
Well, cheers.
To snakes and condoms?
Sure. I'm cool with it.
I'm not allowed to finish that one. All right, you ready to roll?
I mean, yeah. I think to set the context here, we're in Dale's bedroom. His bed is unmade.
Yeah.
He's got some books on the bed. He just told me he had an antique book collection.
I do.
I looked down. I thought it was the book collection in a nice case. It's an AR-15.
No. It's an AK. AK-103.
It's an AK.
Even better.
103.
Go Russia?
Oh, yeah. Let's start with that. Which side of the war are you on? Are we thinking Russia or Ukraine? That's what I want to know. Dale.
I will say Ukraine.
Why?
However, I don't think Zelensky is a very good... he's not a hero.
So we're anti-Zelensky. We're also anti-civilians dying.
What are you?
Oh, Russia.
I know you're a huge Rush fan. Yeah. Why is that?
Putin's just so hot. Honestly... Every time I see that man, I'm like, God, he's on a horse. He's on a ship. He's always shirtless.
That might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. He doesn't have a ship anymore. They seized his yacht. Remember how that backfired on us?
Well, I mean, they seized. Wait, it backfired?
Apparently.
We have a yacht now. How is that a backfire?
Apparently it. I don't know the details, but somehow he made a lot of money because of that.
Off of the yacht being seized?
Yes. I'm not sure exactly how, but. I would need
this is where I wish we had a producer that could Google things.
Yeah, what's that guy's name on Joe Rogan's?
All I know is on Chad and JT, it's Aaron. And Aaron's a legend.
Yeah, we do have a computer right here.
Yeah, but then we're going to have to stop talking. Let's Google this.
Get you a little Google.
How did Putin make money? If Putin made money on this, he's just growing in my estimation. Money on...
Then he's even more.
How do you spell yacht?
Y-A-C-H-T.
That's a dumb word. Almost as dumb as receivable.
Receivable.
Another, the I and E.
Yeah, they're like
backwards. It's I before E except after C, stupid. But I have to think that through every time I type it, and I do accounting. Yeah. So I'm typing received or receivable a lot, and that just goes to show you how great I am at my job.
Let's hear about you being an accountant.
It just really... fell in with everything else that I do in my personality, and I just really enjoy, you know, the 9-to-5 consistency of accounting and just the fact that it's so dynamic, you know? You just do the same thing every month, so it's always changing. Mm-hmm. And by always changing, I mean you do the exact same thing pretty much every month. So it's pretty sweet.
Nice.
Russian oligarch. Super yacht is seized. Putin's alleged $700 million. It just says it's seized. It doesn't say you made money. But also, this is... you know, the media, so
true.
I don't think they'd tell us interesting things.
Are you on Google or DuckDuckGo?
Google? What's...
first problem.
Is DuckDuckGo actually good?
Not bad.
But can you say, did you DuckDuckGo it?
Nope.
You can still say,
did you Google it, but you just DuckDuckGo it. It's like saying I'm going to Uber, but I use a Lyft every time.
That's a fair point, because they're usually... dude, they're cheaper and they give you sky miles.
Dude, Lyft is... yes.
Very limited sky miles, to be fair. But
far better.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's for nothing. I'm going to get the Lyft anyway, so.
I love it.
A couple points. I'll take it.
Yeah, so I started doing accounting.
Nice.
Because my granddad, when I was growing up, he had investments, and he would, when I was like 9 years old, he'd be like, we had like the main house and then a little house down in the back. And so he had an office there, and there was a bedroom, and he would sit and research stocks. So we'd go down to the little house, and he'd smoke a cigar, and he would talk to us about his investments. And I think the one that I remember specifically, I was like 12, and he explained to us why the logging company in, it was like Minnesota or Wisconsin, why it was a good investment, because it's a business that has no going concern, and like these are its financials. And he pulled up the financial statement. I'm 12, and I'm just kind of like, I don't really know what this. I don't know what this means at all.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I wanted to understand it, and accounting teaches you the fundamentals of a financial statement.
Numbers, baby.
Yeah.
I love numbers.
I think it's interesting. You were just telling me earlier that you were working at Briggs before 2020. And you went to your manager and told them that they were going to go bankrupt. They didn't believe you, didn't listen, and then they went bankrupt in 6 months. How did you learn all that? Like, what was your process in that? Because you obviously aren't an accountant, but you learned about numbers somewhere.
I'm good with numbers, though. That's the business side of numbers, like financials, P&Ls, and stuff. I first learned it in a small business setting, owning a landscaping company.
Yeah.
And then once I got into corporate, it's just something that's always, like, interests me, whether it's stocks or whatever. Like, if I'm looking at Apple or whatever company it is, I love tearing through P&Ls, like, how much debt do they have, what's their cash flow, cash on hand, operating income, et cetera, like, just going down it.
Yeah. And do you ever find that after you tear through the P&Ls, it's kind of hard to read them?
A little bit.
You know, because, like, you got all these pieces now.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of things you can look at, though. Like, like if you take EBITDA, which is earnings before income tax. Yeah.
Interest tax?
Interest tax and assets.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Interest tax and amortization?
Maybe.
You know, I should probably know that.
Check that one, too. But it's basically the overall earnings after everything.
Earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation and amortization.
Yeah, that's right. Depreciation is the other one, yeah. So it's basically like you're all in.
Yeah.
Earnings, what you earned after everything. And that's really like the big one that matters. Like you press that against, okay, how much debt do you have? How much, like when's it maturing? When's a bunch of, I mean, there's a ton of different things that go into it. And you, the more you look at them, you can start finding trends.
Yeah.
And that's basically what I did.
What was it about Briggs that pointed that out to you?
One, it was the maturing debt.
Okay.
They had like a $400 million debt that was maturing in 2020 that had to be paid. I think it was July or August or something. And I was like, well, with COVID and everything and how sales have slowed down a little bit, this is this is the date.
Yeah.
And I knew it was coming within 12 months. Mm-hmm. It actually ended up being about 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
And, yeah, then that ship basically sunk. A capital investment firm got a great deal on a company. And now I'm back to get the ship up out of the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. So, pull it back out, drain it, get the electricals working.
Yeah.
Sell some mowers.
That's it.
Sick, man.
It's interesting. It's cool. I mean, it's a challenge. It's something that it's not the greatest situation still, but it's been a lot of improvement, a lot of upper management, new CEO, new VPs, new everything, basically like cleaned house to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Write that down and cut it out.
Yeah.
So since this is getting cut, I just asked Dale a question he's not allowed to answer. So if you want to know, call him up. He's a very interesting person. You want to give your phone number on this? Like, not a lot of people listen. So how many people do listen to this?
I just passed 1,000.
Do you? Wow.
Total.
Oh, shit. Oh, total over?
Since when I started in January.
Okay.
But 80% of that was from January, February.
Yeah.
Because then I had to stop for 4 months.
Yeah. What do you hope to get from this? What's your goal?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's a good outlet of, one, expressing like a lot of the thoughts I have, and two, it's cool to just talk with different people. Even like I talked with Logan yesterday, and it's just cool to, like, a dude I've known for like 2 years, and we hit topics that I like never even knew about.
Like, yeah.
is something as simple as I thought he was born and raised in Atlanta. No, he's from South Georgia somewhere. It was Effingham.
Yeah. Oh, BFE.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, just small things like that and just like learning more about people. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah. It's a good structure for it as well.
Yeah. So you're the first person on here that is homeless.
I am houseless. Yeah. By choice.
Houseless.
Yeah. My mom gets mad when I say homeless, which, first of all, I'm not homeless because I could be in a home. Yeah. And yeah. I'm around a lot of homeless people.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, I was actually driving down the street in Denver the other day where I'm mainly at. And there were, I don't know, 50, 100 people, all homeless, all on the street, walking around with everything they own, basically on their backs or in a rolling bag or a shopping cart.
Yep. Well, Denver's what, 8%?
Of homeless? No way.
8-10%. It's high. Really dang high.
Honestly didn't know that. I mean I could agree with that based on what I saw, but I just looked over and there's a dude in this little like cutout of a piece of art downtown people had built a shelter on. He's just smoking crack at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe. It was like on my lunch break.
Yeah.
And it's wild.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was trying to find a place to park. And I was like, oh, look, here's an empty space where I'm sure no one is. There's no buildings. This will be perfect. Drove by, and it's Tent City. I mean, 200 tents in a row along a street in a dirt patch.
Yeah.
And no one's doing anything about it. I think they evict people on a fairly regular basis. They're like, hey, you got to move, just because they pile up stuff. For
yeah, there's a few, like, parking lots and stuff. I remember we went to some, well, we were going to go. There's some bar in Denver. It's more of a club that is in an old church, which is probably the most satanic
thing.
Was
it called church?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, right across the street from that, there's tents as far as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Right in that, like, parking lot and then down the little alleyway.
Yeah.
Right there. And we were walking by that one night, and I was like, what are we doing?
Wow. Like,
let's keep going.
It's scary, too, because I'll be asleep at night, and I've got my windows kind of open. So if someone walks by and is talking, it feels like they're talking 2 feet away from me. So it's like if you're in your bed and someone stood next to your bed and had a conversation. And sometimes it's homeless people yelling at stuff that doesn't exist.
Dang. And so to preface it, where are you currently sleeping? What are you living in? Give some context on when we say houselessness, sure, what that means.
In December, I was kind of over being in Atlanta. I've lived here for, I did the math the other day, on and off 10 years, moved here in 2011-ish to Peachtree City with my family, played tennis in North Atlanta. So I drove up through Atlanta every day, went to tournaments on the weekends, played tennis at Point in Southwest Georgia, came home. Still, I coached tennis at the same academy up in North Atlanta, worked in South Atlanta for a summer, and then moved here in 2018, and I've been here like 4 years for real.
Yeah.
And end of December, really beginning of December, I realized I just want to get out. I was just super antsy. I almost moved a couple times within Atlanta, like different places, and realized I just had to go. So I asked myself, my question of the year has been, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to go out west. I wanted to ski more, climb, outdoorsy stuff, because I like doing it. And no one, honestly, no offense to you, no one does it. Yeah. Like,
I don't do it.
Yeah, at all. Dale looks like he should be. He's wearing camo pants. He has camo Crocs without padding. Directly to the left here, we've got camo Crocs that are warm.
Those are my slipper Crocs.
Slipper Crocs. Yeah. So we've got a lot of options for Crocs here.
Yeah.
And camouflage. But despite all that, doesn't really go outside. So
I love outdoors. I don't like climbing because I don't like heights.
That's actually why I started climbing. I don't know if you knew that.
Really?
I'm super afraid of heights. Still am. Like, if I'm at the top of a cliff and I look down, I want to pass out.
Wait, were you with us at Angel's Landing?
No.
No. But you saw that video. Yeah. I don't know if you're that scared of heights.
At this point, no. And well, yeah. The difference is the confidence that I have in my ability to hold on to a rock.
Yeah.
Like, if I was climbing up that, as long as I have a hand on a rock, I don't care where I am. If I'm like, I can hold my body weight with my hand, it doesn't matter if I slip. Like, I'm good. But if you don't have that, then...
That was brutal. I hated it.
Yeah, honestly, walking down to the edge of a cliff is much scarier to me than climbing up a cliff.
Absolutely. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I started going up it, and the only thing I could think of was, how in the hell am I going to get back down this?
Yeah.
That was the only thing. Like, getting up it, I'm like, well, I can climb up.
Yeah.
It's just sliding down.
Were you already in sport mode, or did you have to transfer at the top?
Huh?
sport mode on your Crocs.
Crocs?
Yeah.
I didn't have Crocs.
That was my freaking issue. Problem. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, if I would have had my Crocs on, dude, I would have climbed right up. You'd have been golden.
Yeah, the rubber on those bad boys. I mean, I'm looking at the tread right now, and it's deep.
Yeah, these are my ultra
rains. Dude, that'll get you through some shit.
I know, dude. It'll do it.
So now that we're sidetracked, December, decided I wanted to leave. Just bought some tools, and I met a lady at a bar. Her name's Brandy. Can't remember her last name, but she's a custom cabinet designer. She will never listen to this, but if she ever does, shouts out. Because she drew on a napkin what I wanted and then said, hey, come to my house Friday morning and I'll draw plans. So I went there Friday morning. She took like an hour and a half, took a picture of the back of my car, printed it out, used like, can't remember the name of it, but it's like the clear paper you can see through. She basically sketched out the inside of my 4Runner, had me measure, drew out the dimensions of each part that you could see from the photo. And then drew in with those dimensions exactly what I wanted for a cabinet. And I still have them somewhere.
Interesting.
But left from there, went home. I think I made 2 or 3 solid like recut mistakes, but just spent some time thinking about it. Spent literally 2 weeks cutting and building cabinets for the first time. Pretty much dropped off the map for that whole month. And then
I remember that.
Do you really?
Yeah, I remember you giving like a little hint to me about you got a van, but don't say anything. Yeah. And then you were just gone. I never heard from you for a while.
Yeah, I was pretty, I was not in a great spot. Yeah. I just kind of, my parents were going through divorce and I didn't really know how to handle it. And so I put on Luke Combs every night and I cut wood and sanded it and put it together into cabinets. And then after New Year's Eve, I just waited for a 3-day span without plans. Dang. Like every night I had like someone was trying to hang out, I was trying to climb. And then as soon as I had 3 or 4 days where no one was trying to hang out, I remember I just woke up the next day. I had all my bags packed for a week.
Yeah.
And then I just put my 2 bags in the back and then rolled.
Heck yeah.
And that was it. Made a bunch of chili, put it in Tupperware, cooked it in a pot in the back of my car. I had a drawer that slid out with a camping stove in it.
Yeah.
And I was so thrilled because it worked. Like
that's sick.
Everything worked. It pulled out. I sat underneath my little canopy on my 4Runner. I cooked dinner in the rain the first day, slept in the back, drove a little further. I mean, I think I stopped at Danielle Garrett's house in Dallas for like a day or two. That was great. Got a bed for a day.
Yeah.
And then rolled up to Pueblo. That's where I got that sourdough pizza that we were talking about.
Nice.
Southern Colorado.
That's where we need to buy our ranch.
That's where we're buying our ranch at. Yeah.
That'll be dope.
And then rolled into, I think I went to Frisco straight away. Stayed in Frisco for the winter. Yeah. And, dude, the first month and a half were brutal. Like, the 4Runner was sweet.
Is it not cold? You got a heater?
Well, A, it's cold. I don't have a heater. I did have an electric blanket. But the main problem was I cooked outside. So I planned for – I was just thinking about Georgia winter. Where I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. And then it's negative 10 degrees. I don't have snow boots. So I'm wearing, like, my dress boots that have no insulation and one pair of socks.
Should
have
had those Crocs.
Dude, should have had the fuzzy Crocs. That would have been a game changer.
That'd be nice.
But I'm standing in 6 inches of snow. It might be actively snowing. And my hands and feet are numb a minute into cooking. And I'm like making a quesadilla. You know, make a quesadilla. You turn it on low.
Yeah.
You leave it for 20 minutes.
What were you cooking on? You have like pots and pans and stuff?
I had a cast iron pot that was, I think, 6 inches. Mm-hmm. And then I had a... Thank you, Dale. Anything in the mid-foot range is kind of out of pocket here.
I'm sorry.
I had a cast iron pot, and or not a pot, a pan, and then I had one little pot that I cooked.
Did you use, like, the tank with the little, like, burner?
The little green tank and then a camping stove.
Yeah. Okay.
So I had a couple of those, cooked on that every day, and I ate a lot of peanut butter jelly sandwiches with baked cheddar sour cream Ruffles. Nice. Phenomenal chip.
Good?
Oh, dude, so much salt. I think I had my daily dose of sodium in 3 chips every day.
Oh, yeah.
And skied 40-something days that winter. But moral of the story, got really, really, really cold. Oh, and I think the coldest night was negative 10. And I remember I had a sleeping bag and a comforter and an electric blanket. And I had to wake up every, like, hour or two and pop the electric blanket on because it was on an hour timer. And...
Yeah, you knew immediately when that thing turned off.
Yeah. So but that just got me there and I got there and I realized this is where I want to be. This is what I want to be doing and started looking for a van, found a van with 299,000 miles on it that a dude had already lived in for 5 years. It was kind of built out.
So somebody was living in it before?
He was done living in it. He had a house now.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had purchased like a yurt or some sort of teepee thing that he camped in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he got a lady and he needed more space. Nice. And so he was trying to sell his van and it had the transmission and the motor replaced. I knew it needed front end work. So I went ahead and bought it. It was great for about 2 weeks. And then I'm driving over Loveland Pass. And my thermometer is just doing weird stuff. And apparently the thermostat was stuck.
Oh, boy.
Or the thermostat, whichever one it is that measures temperature and pumps more water through the engine to cool it, that was stuck, so it didn't know the engine was overheating, so it didn't pump enough water. Gotcha. So yeah, radiator blew.
Yep.
Going over Loveland. And I was like, fuck. I pulled over. There's just water pouring out the bottom of my engine. And I was like, this might be a problem.
Yeah, water pump blew. I had that happen in a truck before.
Did you really?
Fun.
Dude, hard to fix.
Yeah, it's like your car's just kind of pissing everywhere.
Not yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Not great.
Accurate. So yeah. I ran like 3 miles to the nearest like Dollar General, bought more fluid, poured it in, watched it all drain out the bottom. And I was like, well, maybe we can make it further. Made it about a half mile. And at that point, I called AAA. They came 9 hours later, I think, at 3 a.m., so 5 a.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. So woke up, rode with them back to Golden, left my van at an auto shop, and then flew home because it was like 10 days to get it fixed. So they fixed it, did some suspension work, did the rear suspension. I guess front end work is like tie rod and something else, and it was like $4,000.
Dang.
So
you know, in a radiator situation like that, in your case, it's pouring out, so it's no good, but you can just pour water in it.
Oh, yeah, 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 because it doesn't matter if it's antifreeze.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, that's all it is. It's just a chemical in it that prevents it from freezing. Mm-hmm.
Which, as long as you put more antifreeze in before you turn it off, because I was still in Colorado.
Yeah.
Definitely would have frozen, but.
That is very true.
Got me about a half mile, and the problem was it just wasn't pumping any water through the engine.
Yeah, it was just falling out, yeah.
Which, it didn't blow the head gasket, had to get an oil change, and we've been in it ever since. Just took it 2,000 miles to visit you in Zion.
Yeah, dude.
Which was great. That
was freaking dope.
Yeah, it was fun seeing people from home.
Yeah, we made the, what was that place called? The Narrows.
Narrows Trail. Finally finished it.
Made it the whole way.
Yeah.
It was a truck.
People kept trying to turn around.
No, that was not me.
No, no. It was not you.
No. No. I'm not calling out names. I just know it wasn't you and it wasn't me.
I don't know who it was. If you're listening, call me. Let me know it wasn't you. We'll beef.
That's good. But, yeah, that was a good trip. All right, so you're living in a van. What else?
What else? I'm still working remote.
Yeah.
Still
so
doing
you're,
accounting.
So you're doing the accounting job.
Mm-hmm.
How you're working where? Like in the van or?
No, so I'll mainly post up at a coffee shop in Denver.
Cool.
Or so if I'm in Frisco, I'll work at Outer Range, which is shouts out Outer Range, great brewing company.
Nice.
A lot of good beer. They got a coffee shop there. They got a chicken place. They do breakfast burritos from Bonfire Burritos. Really a holistically great experience all around.
Yeah. That's sick.
In Denver, I work at a place called Improper City, which is a coffee shop in the morning, turns into a brewery about 1 p.m., which is ideal, and I sit at the same table every day, say hi to people. Honestly, made a ton of friends there. Really? Most nice. People I know in Denver I met working at Improper City, just kind of posted up.
That's sick.
I
need to fly out there and check that spot out.
Yeah, you do. It's a good crew. But I didn't feel super connected to anyone, and we moved so much. So I moved when I was 4 from Dallas to Temple, moved about 6 from Temple to Austin, moved about 12 from Austin to Montgomery, moved from Montgomery to Peachtree City, my junior year of high school, and then moved to college. So I moved every like 2 to 4 years pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
So it's tough to keep connections, tough to like really get to know people and have them stick around. Mm-hmm. And I think... At least in my head, I kind of measure friendship based on, like, did we actually stick around?
Yeah.
That's why Atlanta, it was so hard to leave. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I had friends that I knew I'd be friends with for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And also, I knew that some of us wouldn't be friends after I left.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough time. Like, right now, I'm in town for a week.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see everyone I know here.
Exactly.
Because that's impossible.
Not
realistic, and I'm just,
yeah.
As a result, not going to be as good of friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's tough to know you're missing stuff. Like, I mean... People get girlfriends, people are in relationships, they get engaged, they get married, and you're just not there.
Yeah.
And as much as they go, oh, cool, like, this is this person, this is what we're doing, we're so excited about it, you still don't get to experience it in the same way.
Yeah, that's fair. Nice. So what's some of the pros and cons of living out of a van.
Yeah, they're all cons. It's harder in every way. It's honestly the shittiest experience you could possibly have. And I would not recommend it to anyone. So why don't you do it?
Why do you do it then?
I do it because it offers me flexibility in my home. Mm-hmm. I was just tired of being in one spot. I wanted to see new things. I had a bunch of bucket list items. I actually went to my counselor, told him I didn't want to settle down. And he was like, why don't you want to settle down? And I said, well, there's a bunch of things I want to do. And I just kind of listed off like, I want to climb this mountain. I want to learn how to trad climb. I want to be in Colorado. I want to go up the Pacific Coast. I want to go to climb. What's that mountain in Africa? Everyone climbs.
No idea.
Kilimanjaro. Want to climb Kilimanjaro? Like, I just had all these things that I wanted to do that it would just be harder to do with someone because you leave for months.
Yeah.
And usually, like, if you're dating someone, they're not fired up. You're gone for months. I don't know, just from my experience. Yeah, maybe it's not true for everyone, but... it doesn't really strengthen your relationship to go leave for months on end to meet new people. Yeah. So I wanted to do it before I settled down and I'm trying to check it all off as quickly as I can until I'm lonely.
Yeah. So now you're a nomad. I love that. I think that's like we were talking earlier. That's my biggest fear. If I were to live out of a van, my biggest fear would be loneliness.
Yeah. Cause we've talked about it.
Yeah.
I keep trying to get you to buy a camper and come hang.
I know.
Because
I'm close, dude. Like, it's, I just don't know if I would like it. I don't know.
So are you just going to say what if for the rest of your life?
No, I just don't have those reasons that are pushing me like you have of, like, I want to climb this mountain. I want to do this. I want to do that. And the easiest way of achieving those goals is by getting a camper.
Yeah.
It's not really the case. It's more like, okay, I want to hit all 50 states. That's number one. Is a van going to help me do that? No, because I'm not really going to get to Alaska with it. I'm not going to get to Hawaii with it.
Okay, you picked the two hardest states, first
of all.
Well,
that's two of the seven I have left.
Okay. I mean...
So it's...
But even some of those states, like, you've been to, you haven't seen the state, right?
It's fair. My criteria is I've stayed at least one night there.
Well, it's...
Many of them I've been tons of times.
Yeah.
So it just depends.
What's left on your list? I know New Mexico.
Yep.
Which Pueblo with the sourdough pizza, great spot.
Yeah, New Mexico... Arizona.
Wait, Pueblo, Colorado. Albuquerque, New Mexico is the one.
Albuquerque.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, yeah. I have New Mexico, Arizona, Hawaii, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and North Dakota is nine.
So here's my thought. You buy a camper.
Mm-hmm.
You start driving through Texas. You go to New Mexico. Come to Colorado.
Yep.
And then we just kind of go to L.A. We stay in L.A. for a week or so, get some work done. You fly back to Milwaukee. You go, hey, I was in L.A. for a weekend. And then you only have to do that once a month. So then you truck up the coast. We hit Oregon. We hit Washington. Idaho's right there on the way back to Montana and North Dakota. We go to South Dakota. I finally get a license plate.
South Dakota.
Dude, well, so South Dakota, if you stay one night in South Dakota, you've officially established residency. So you can establish residency at a hotel overnight and then register your vehicle and get a tag.
Interesting.
Which, I don't know if you knew this, it's June. I still don't have a license plate.
Yeah, you've been that way for a little
while. I have a piece of cardboard that says tag applied for.
That's nice.
And I got pulled over and the cop was like, what does that mean? And I was like, dude, I'm going to be totally honest. I have no clue what this means. I would love to tell you I have a plan here. I just bought it and I was like, what do people put on a tag? And I was like, well, if I've applied for a tag, which I haven't, but I expect to, I'll just put tag applied for.
You just need to put like, yeah, planning to apply for
tag. Yeah, maybe one day I might get a tag.
One day I will apply for tag.
I just put like a random date on it and keep scratching it out and moving it later.
Yeah.
So South Dakota's on my list for that reason.
South Dakota. Sioux Falls is the place I went there.
Okay.
Not that great.
All right, well, fair enough.
But there's other.
Someone told me like the top of Michigan or something or... Minnesota in the summer.
So where Minnesota. You know, Wisconsin arches up.
Uh-huh.
Michigan arches up the other side.
Yeah. And is that the one that looks like a hand? It has all the fingers on it?
Yes.
Okay.
At the top of Lake Michigan.
Okay. Dude,
it's dope. There's like rocks and stuff like all around the lakes.
Whoa,
it's
rocks?
Sick. No, wow. No, I'm like cliffs.
Way to sell it,
like
Dale.
Cliffs, dude. It's sick. It's
rocks and water?
You'd be able to climb them. I know you're into climbing all those rocks. And
I would be stoked.
Yeah, you'd love it.
I just need you to belay me or something.
I forget what that place is called.
Gosh, someone just told me about it. They had lived in a van, and they were like, hey, if there's anywhere you can go in the summer in a van,
it's sick.
That is it. Yep. Which kind of put it in the back of my mind, and it's just so far over there.
Yeah, it's long.
Dude, I looked at driving to Toronto at one point because my friend Renee lives up there.
That'd be cool.
And, dude, it's like 37 hours.
Jeez.
Unreal. I was like, it's all the way across Canada.
That's my thing. Like, I think the biggest thing that deters me from a van is I've gotten so, over the past, like, 7 years, say, I've gotten so accustomed to flying hotels.
Yeah.
Like, in, I guess, rental cars or whatever. But I've gotten so accustomed to that that I'm like, why the hell would I spend 24 hours driving out to Colorado when I can just get on a plane and be there in 3 hours? It might cost a little more to have a rental car and stuff, but, like, screw it. I save 2 days.
Well, and that's where I say everything's a con. Like, it makes everything harder. You have to drive everywhere. You got to find a bathroom. You got to find food. You got to find a place to sleep. Nothing's consistent. Where you fly and go to a hotel and rent a car, everything, you know where it is. You know how to do it.
Yeah.
The thing you miss, though, is there's something cool in the process. There's something cool in the fact that it's hard. And, I mean, even now in Denver, it's hot.
Yeah.
And in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, I got to figure out where I'm sleeping because it's not in Denver. Because Denver is 82 degrees at night.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if y'all ever slept at the house at 82. Pretty warm. Also, add in the fact that the van doesn't ventilate that well. It ventilates very okay.
Yeah.
My fan sucks. Like, the opening is probably a foot across.
Yeah.
My fan's about 4 inches across. It makes no sense. It gets no air moving.
It's tiny.
It's kind of just like, if it's windy out, we're doing good. If not, oh well.
So it's like the challenge is part of the adventure of it.
Yeah, if you don't sign up for it. And I was talking to my manager about this. She just bought a camper. They went to Florida. Literally everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Like, went to Rockfest. Camper got infested with ants. She got COVID bad. Their AC went out on their car they were pulling the camper with. Then the transmission went out as soon as they got to Panama City. Good. And then I think they rented a truck to pull it home, to pull the camper home. They couldn't get a one-way rental, had to return it back there. On the way down, the tire blew in the other car they were driving. And, like, she told me the whole saga, and I was crying laughing. I was like, this sounds so horrible. Like, she couldn't have picked another thing to go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, got sick, everything broke, everything was shit. Like,
that's crazy.
As soon as they got in a groove, they had to go home because their car blew up.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's what you have to sign up for. You have to, and that's when I bought this van. I was like, this is a shitty van. It will break down. I will be stuck in the middle of the mountain somewhere all night with no hope of rescue. And that happened. But I was ready for it. And that's what I signed up for. And I wanted to learn about old cars and what's the weird noises that are okay and what's the ones that aren't.
Yeah.
And I'm learning it's okay if it backfires while it's idling. Like, I think. It's only been 5 months, but it just kind of skips some beats. And
yeah.
So far, it pulls up hills still at about 40 miles an hour, and I just stay in the right lane and hang out.
Yeah. That's kind of convincing. It's kind of cool because it would push me out of my comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah. And that's...
It would definitely be something that's more of a challenge than my current day-to-day, that's for sure.
And that was my thing. I'm like, I'm just getting so weak going to bed in my bed and, like, having air conditioning and friends that are here.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to make friends and I'm in a town, if I'm not in Denver and I want to make friends, I have to go approach people I don't know. And, like, dude, the one thing, it was so fun. I was in Moab and I was texting one of my friends and she was like, dude, you've never met a stranger. Just go meet people at the crag. So I drove to the most popular crag.
At the what?
So, like a climbing area with a bunch of routes.
Oh, okay.
That are easily accessible. They'll call it a crag.
Gotcha.
It's just crag. Like the spot you go climb.
Gotcha.
So I go to like this climbing spot called Wall Street in Moab. Bunch of easy climbing, super chill. Everyone goes. And I got there and obviously everyone's like, you can meet people. You're super outgoing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm pretty sure I sat in my car for a whole hour. Just like looking at people out the window, like, man, I gotta go talk to people. Like, this is so aggressive. I don't want to talk to anyone. Finally, talked to this dude named Jason from Texas, and I was like, hey, man, is it cool if I trade you a belay? Like, I'll belay you. He's like, trade a belay? What do you mean? I'll just belay you. And I was like, you're kind of aggressive here, but okay. And he just belayed me on some routes. Turns out he got married on the first clip of one of the climbs we were on. He literally walked up 10 feet of this climb. His dad went up, hooked in. He went up, hooked in. His wife went up, hooked in. And then they got married. And I was like, I'll lead it for you. He's like, no, man, this is my climb. I got married on it. And I was like, what the hell kind of story is that? Like, you got married on this climb. And he's
what
like,
a rock.
Yeah, that's what I did. I was like, well, I can't really fight you on this.
Dude, you can't even, like, make this stuff up.
I know.
Where did you even come up with that?
Dude, I don't know. And that's he just insane. Happened to be on that climb, and I happened to be there, and I happened to be like, oh, this is the most outgoing, loud guy at the crag.
Yeah.
And then I bought a watermelon when we were in Zion. So it had been, dude, it had been in my bed for 3 days because I didn't want it to roll away, so I just, like, stashed it in all my blankets. So I got my little table out, chopped up the watermelon, and then walked around to everyone and was like, do y'all want some watermelon? And they're like, yeah, we want watermelon. What kind of question is that? And made a couple friends, and they were like going backpacking, didn't want to climb. Walked over to another group. They were all camping nearby. Talked to them for 20 minutes. They're like, dude, just come back to us with our campsite. One of the dudes rode with me, showed me a spring she could get water at. So I filled up all my water jugs. And then I camped with them for like 4 days and climbed with them every day. And one of the dudes there taught me how to trad climb. Nice. And I did my first trad lead and accidentally led like a 5-9, which means nothing to you, but it's like a little bit harder than I should have done for my first trad lead.
Interesting.
And I mean, just that kind of stuff. That's the cool part because you're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Yep.
You really got no options. You either meet the people or you're really, really lonely on day four. Like if I'm there for a week, day one, you got to just get out of your head regardless of where you're at. And it just forces you to do stuff like that. And then you have a cool story. Like, yeah.
What's your number one tip for like meeting new people in a place that you've like don't know anyone?
Just get over yourself.
What does that mean?
Stop worrying about what you look like. Because, okay, you just have to smile at everyone. You can't be like, oh no, they didn't reciprocate my smile. You just have to be like, tease. And then they look at you and they're like, ugh. And you go, I don't care that they just said to me because they don't want to talk to me. That's okay. Yeah. And then when someone sits down at your table and they have headphones in, just go, hey, how's it going? And don't worry like, oh no, they have headphones in. What if they don't want to talk? What if they're like really focused? What if they're on a call? Worst case scenario, they go, hey, sorry, I'm on a call. And they like mime to you that they can't talk to you. And then like, what are you losing? And I think I've had to learn that you're just not losing anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, everyone I've met is because I said, hey, how is it going? Like, I'm not, even like girls, like, I'm not thinking of pickup lines. I'm not trying to like pick anyone up. I'm just like, what's up? What you doing? What's your name? How's your day? Like, it's simple stuff to just start a conversation. And from there, I mean, if you can carry a conversation with a friend, you can carry a conversation with a stranger. And I think someone told me, like, if you don't have anything to talk about family, work, or dude, if you don't like small talk, ask something off the wall.
I hate small talk.
Great. Well, you know what? People that say they hate small talk are bad at asking questions. Ask a better question. If you don't like your answers, fucking
well that's
step
why I don't
up.
Do small talk.
Yeah, great. You just get in there.
Oh, yeah. I just dive
which
right
is
in.
Why we're here.
Yeah.
Because you just want to dive. You're like, hey, if I want to get to know people, I need an hour block of time. Best way to do that is to say I'm making a podcast. Yeah, zero people could listen to this, and this is a valuable experience. I actually wrote that down as things I was like, maybe I should ask you this. It was, what's your goal? How do you bring out the authentic part of people? And are you just throwing shit at a wall with your podcast? Which,
yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
I think I ascertained that in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, we're just kind of making this, and there's no expectation for this to go anywhere.
No.
And if no one wants to listen to this conversation.
You know, that's like the craziest thing to me is the amount of times I get asked, like, what's your vision with the podcast? Like, where do you want it to go? What do you want to do? What's your plan? How are you going to market it? How are you going to do? I'm like, I have no idea. I have no plan. I literally woke up on December 30th, 2021 and said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to start a podcast. I think it'd be cool to get to know people better, have conversations and talk.
Yeah.
In more of a structured way. It's an intentional way of always having meaningful conversation.
Yeah.
At the very least, me and hopefully the person I talk to, we get to know each other better and if that's all that comes out of it, great. It takes a freaking hour out of my life of a conversation that we would have outside of this podcast.
That we already had.
It just
like
happens to be recorded. Yeah, we've already talked. I mean, we would have done this anyway.
Yeah.
And now it's just recorded. So
somewhere on the internet.
God knows who can listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was even coming into this, I was like, the question in my head was, who decides that what you have to say matters? Because I was listening to, I think it was this morning, I was stalking some dude's Instagram page. I wish I could chat him out because he seems cool. But his sister has cystic fibrosis, and she was giving a talk as a 25-year-old on, like, the meaning of life and what matters.
Yeah.
And we look at her, and we're like, oh, she has cystic fibrosis. She has so much more perspective on life. She's not going to make it that far, and she's, like, already dead at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting because the only difference between her and the people in the audience was the fact that she had something she felt like people needed to hurt. People needed her here. People need. I'm looking at Dale and all his camo, and I'm like, ah, she had something people need to her. I tell you what, you know, oh, Effingham's not so bad after all. Might buy me a wrench down there. She decided people needed to hear what you had to say. And I think, I mean, if you decide people need to hear what you have to say, start talking and start putting it out there.
Yeah.
And I think the difference between people that are successful and people that aren't is that people that are successful threw enough shit at the wall that something stuck.
Yep.
And they had enough confidence to say, what I have to say matters.
Yeah, to just say, screw it. And I think that's one thing is there's obviously some people that are more interesting than others. However, I do talk to a lot of people, and they're like, what in the world would we talk about? I don't have anything meaningful like that people would care to listen to, etc. And it's like, I don't care who the heck you are. There's at least something that we could talk about for a minimum of 30 minutes that is meaningful,
yeah,
to someone. It might not be meaningful to everyone, mm-hmm. which it's not going to. Like, the majority of people could probably give a crap about living in a van and rock climbing or whatever. But there's also 50% of the people that are probably like, man, that's freaking cool. Like, that's inspiring. Maybe I want to do that. Maybe I don't want to do that, but it's still just cool to hear about.
Yeah, maybe you heard all the cons and you were like, yeah, it sounds terrible. And to you, I say, yeah, it's terrible. Definitely don't do it.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Like, it, I mean, there's definitely a lot of people that enjoy it. I mean, you definitely have like a unique story. I mean, especially the last year or so of like that experience is something just completely different. But it's cool. I mean, I think there's everybody has something to contribute in some way, whether or not they're confident about it or not. I think that's more the issue.
And you don't know what's unique about your story until you tell people.
Exactly.
And that's what I realized because I grew up very, I mean, I don't know anyone else that grew up like I did. Well, maybe one or two people. Mm-hmm. Like conservative home, totally homeschooled, had some friends, was very Christian. Dad was a pastor, but like super spiritual. Mom was like the greatest mom ever.
Yeah.
But like had her own issues and, you know, there's points of connection with a lot of people, but in terms of my whole story of like the amount that we moved, the lifestyle I grew up in, what I thought was normal. And obviously, like, I keep meeting people who are like, oh, yeah, I thought I should get married at 22. But like, my whole life, I was like, 21 is probably the limit for me getting married. Like, I got to get a wife by then. And then I hit 21 and realized, holy cow, dude, if I was married right now, this would be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still a kid, I don't know anything.
Exactly.
And I mean, I think people feel that way their whole life. Like,
that's
you
fair.
Always feel like a kid. You always feel out of your depth. You never feel ready.
You're never ready for anything.
Well, yeah, and you're not.
Yeah.
Like,
you won't reach that point where you feel like you're ready. Like, you may be ready for whatever, a job, a relationship, marriage, whatever. But something's not just going to click one day and say, now I'm ready for that job. You just mold into it.
Yeah. And it's really just like the perspective of I'm going to send it.
Yeah.
Which for those of you who don't climb or ski or don't know that lingo, it's just like I got to do it now and just go hard. I don't know. Just fucking send it. I don't know.
Yeah. Freaking love it.
The more you do that, the more you fail, the better it is.
Yeah.
So just getting out of your comfort zone. That's the most cliche phrase. Dude, I hate cliches.
Yeah.
Every time I say a cliche, I want to just punch myself in the face and just be like, hey, you're being a douche. Please stop.
That negative self-talk.
Dude, it's really helpful.
You gotta get out of
dude,
your
that
head.
Was another thing. I was talking to someone the other day and I was thinking, especially Drew and Avery, who I don't know if they were Avery was on the podcast, so the listeners might know him.
Yeah.
all the listeners, aka the like 11 people in our friend group that have listened to every podcast.
Yeah.
I think both of them, like, if they're not looking good or need to diet more, would you be like, hey, you're looking really fat. And I said that the other day at the coffee shop to some girl, and she was, I don't remember how she. Wait. No, I didn't. No.
What?
I did not say. Calm down. Roll it back. I did not say that to her.
Okay.
I said something along. I was just like talking about Drew, and I was like, yeah. And I'm just like, hey, man, you're looking pretty fat. And she like paused for a second and was like, man, you know, like when I was in high school, I really struggled with the eating disorder and like blah, 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 and all this. And really love my new body that I've grown into and this and that. And I'm really confident in it. And I love that about myself. And I was just like, fuck, I should probably reassess. Yeah. It just sort of made me realize that the normal things that have always been normal are really not normal. Mm-hmm. And the ways I talk about myself and like, dude, in tennis, if I missed a shot, I'd be like, you piece of shit, you fucking. Like, I would just go off on myself and then be like, focus in. Don't miss that same shot, you idiot.
Yeah.
Like, you're such a shit tennis player. Pick it up. And, like, that's always been myself.
Dude, I relate to that so much.
Like, it just gets me going.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what motivates me.
Yeah, like, you can't hit 12 reps on bench. You only hit 8. And you're like, you fucking weak ass.
Yeah.
I won't keep going because no one wants to hear me eviscerate myself.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what's going on in my head when I mess up.
Yeah.
Like, and I've never thought twice about it.
No.
Especially because everyone I'm around has the same self-talk.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever, like, I've done that my entire life. But I've never looked at it as, like, that's a bad thing. I should probably not do that. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. But it's worked up to this point, so let's keep it rolling.
Like, it got us somewhere.
It got me to a podcast with no purpose, so here we are.
Thank God you've made it, Dale. This is true success. Also, do you have a Dale Earnhardt? No, it says Dare. Dare to something. What's your mouse pad?
What? Oh.
Dare to stand out. Wow.
That's from the Sky Deck in
from Sky Daddy? Chicago. Oh, Sky Deck. Cool.
Yeah.
It's not a Sky Daddy quote.
No,
it's from like Sky
Daddy. No.
Dude, it's, shouts out have Sky you been Daddy.
There? Chicago?
Do you believe in Sky Daddy?
What is
Sky Daddy?
Sky Daddy?
Yeah, he like wrote the Bible and stuff.
Sky Daddy.
Yeah.
Like Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, nice.
Sky
same.
Daddy.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Shouts out.
That's probably the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard.
That's been my favorite thing because it was the other day I was at the hot tub and someone was like, "So you're a Jesus guy, huh?" They saw my bracelet and I was like, "Yep." And they were like, "Huh? Wouldn't have guessed it." And I was like, yeah, I mean, we're figuring it out. I don't know. Like, what do you want me to say? And they're like, and then they started making all the Sky Daddy comments. They're like, ooh, Sky Daddy would think this. And I was like, dude, nice. Shouts out Sky Daddy.
Nice.
And,
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Really?
No.
Dude.
I'm not really up on the hip lingo, though. You know,
I would not have guessed.
I try.
If y'all haven't seen Dale.
I'm a pretty hip person.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
That's super cool. You're like super, super dope and swag.
Yeah, dude. In like a very country way.
Have you ever thought about doing ASMR?
What?
Just like whispering into the microphone and just posting 5-minute clips of you talking about your day?
No.
With a video of yourself?
Like vlogging?
Kind of, yeah. But it's like you make weird noises and like eat noodles while you're doing it or something. I don't know.
It's like your burrito thing.
Dude.
Do you follow that Cooge guy?
Dude, I do now because you send me his reels every day.
He is so funny.
That guy's in. I thought I was crude.
Oh, he's pretty brutal.
That dude's on another
he's
level.
He's hilarious. Dude,
the Cooge.
Like, your sister.
You want to so quote great. Any of his stuff real quick, Dale?
Huh?
Well, he always says something about your sister.
Yeah. He's always like eating a sandwich or something. He's like, yeah, this thing dripping like your sister last night or something. Like, it's so funny.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah, my bad.
I'm not posting this on Instagram because my mom will listen to the whole thing.
Oh no, so we'll cut that out.
Dude, I'm gonna be totally honest, I don't think there's anything I haven't said to my mom at this point, and she still loves me.
She hasn't sent you Cooge.
She has, oddly enough, not been sending me posts by Cooge.
He's a good guy.
I'll send them to her, see if she likes him.
He's a wholesome guy.
He just eats sandwiches and lets you know what's up.
Yeah.
He just shoots it straight.
He honestly comes up with so many phrases that I'm like, how did you even come up with that?
That's my thing. There are some people that just rep out phrases that are so unique, and I'm like, bro, that's off the dome.
Yeah, like, how do you even come up with this crap?
That's why these dudes I really love, Chad and JT, they, Chad. Dude, first of all, Chad Kroger is just a legend. Jean-Thomas Parr, shouts out. Shouts out Aaron. Shouts out Strider. Shouts out the homie Joe Maurice with his fat hog. Freaking legends, bro. And
freaking legends, bro.
Dude, literally have inspired me to do so many things I would not have otherwise done. Like acting like a total bro, even though I'm from freaking Texas. Everyone's like, yeah, dog, you from California? And I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah, you got Cali vibes.
I don't know how. Honestly, I think I got them from listening to this podcast. Yeah. I listened to like 100 episodes in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it was like 9 hours a day. And then I just woke up one day.
I thought you meant this
one.
I was like, what?
Like, first of all, we don't have 100 episodes. I was like, I don't know if you know the consistency with which I've been posting, but consistency's low.
Yeah.
Posts are not regular.
Not being great.
But yeah, no, they have a lot of episodes. And they're just like the biggest bros in the world. And maybe it's an act. Nice. Maybe it's not. I don't really care. Yeah. I'm just in.
Hmm. Well, it's you now.
What up?
So,
what boom up? Clap, Stokers.
Stokers.
It's also not an OG, except Kaylee McClure. Dude, it is interesting sometimes, and I'm about to shout out a couple girls. But
here we go.
It is funny. I'll like be hanging out with a girl, like talking to her for a week, and then she'll be saying things like, food mode or like talk mode, which shouts out Drew Moody. That's a Drew Moody Ridge. And then they'll be like saying Stoker a lot. Be like, oh dude, what up? And I'm like, what up, girl? Who has never said that before. Stoker.
What's like, the other one you say? Fair enough.
Dude, fair enough. Listen. If I don't know what to say, it's kind of like when people are like, oh, cool, cool, cool. Nice, man. I'm just like, oh. Fair enough, dude. I don't know. Fair enough. And like, oh, dude, nice.
That is great.
Well, that is great. I guess we're kind of tapped out on content unless we want to get spiritual, which I don't. So
tapped out, brother.
Dude, tapped.
I got two questions, though.
Okay.
One, what's the best thing you bought on Amazon under $100?
Am I allowed to look? Can you ask me the second question while I look at my Amazon orders?
Yeah. Tell me your the stupidest thing you've ever done that you would do again tomorrow.
Ooh, stupidest thing I've ever done. So the list is super long.
That you would do again tomorrow.
But I'm going to go with when I was 15. No, I was 17 or 18. So Dale just absolutely ripped
that's
one.
My croc.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yep, for sure. So when I was like 18 or 19, my best friend David had recently, this is a saga. So I liked this girl, Savannah Lee. Shouts out if you're listening.
Come on.
And I was at their house, and David obviously knew this. I'm saying goodbye to the family. It's mom, dad, I think two brothers and a little sister. And, like, I know them all. And then I don't think Jenny was there. But I'm saying goodbye, and I wore sweatpants that day and tidy whities.
Nice.
And it's glass door. The door's closed. We're going, bye. My best friend David comes up behind me and just pantses me in front of everyone. And I'm literally waving, and it's just, whoom, tidy whities. So that was probably one of the top most embarrassing moments. And then we were at a speech debate tournament, and there was this long hallway. Everyone was waiting, and with some stairs at the end leading up to the little platform where everyone could see you. And I pantsed my friend David in front of like 200 people, which is an accomplishment for the ages. Yeah. It was incredible. And that was really stupid because, like, a lot of people got mad. I didn't know this until, like, a year ago. But people got mad because I, like, exposed my friend to, like, a lot of underage people or whatever. Which we were also underage, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? And but it's like, yeah, we didn't pull his pants all the way down. He's still in his boxers, whatever. But I got him back real good. Yeah. And I would do that again tomorrow.
Perfect.
It was delightful. And then I think, man, under $100, because my favorite one so far was like $300.
Give me that one. Solar panel.
It was a solar panel for my Jackery.
For your what?
I've got a power bank thing.
Yeah. Hmm. Oh yeah, the one sitting in your van.
Yeah.
Big block. Yeah.
Dude, actually, I bought my mom this mug that was pretty friggin' sick. It says it's for Mother's Day. It just went away. I don't know what it says.
Nice.
It's says, dear mom, thanks for being my mom. If I had a different mom, I'd punch her in the face and go find you. Love, your favorite. That was a good one. I don't know. That was pretty banger Mother's Day gift.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was solid. So if you all have a mother, honestly, buy her that mug, support them, and they're all going to love you for it. Thank you. Your mothers.
Absolutely.
If you have multiple shouts out, let me know how you did
even
that.
Even though it's Father's Day?
Oh, dude, I literally flew back, thought I would hang out with my dad for Father's Day, and he's in freaking Alaska. He was like, yeah, I'm flying to L.A. today. I'll be in Alaska next week. And I was like, well, happy Father's Day from afar. Enjoy Alaska. I'm in Atlanta.
You should have been in Alaska
good
with
shit. Honestly, they invited me, and I told them I'd be busy with work.
Yeah.
I'm not busy with work.
It's just work.
Oh, dude, that's so true. I'm working. They're not going to listen to this. I just couldn't do the Alaska vacation they were going to do. They're like staying in cabins, and honestly, they took a helicopter over a glacier the other day, so that would have been pretty okay.
Yeah.
But I just like didn't want to spend 8 days doing like slightly bougier shit than I want to do.
Yeah.
And like staying in cabins, I want to like go live in the dirt and be dirty.
Nice.
With my family.
Yeah.
Baby.
We'll end it on that. That's a good word to end on right there.
Yeah.
Get dirty with the family.
Nothing like it, baby. You know what's good. Oh, yeah.
Well,
hey, to end this podcast, can I get a, oh, yeah?
No. Race not here.
Jeez. Well, anyway. Well, Dale, I guess it's been fun.
It's been great. Good time.
Sort of.
Great time.
Except you didn't ho yeah with me.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been a lot. I heard it. Just so all y'all know, he said ho yeah in his little camo Crocs.
Yeah, I need a little more.
Little cutesy wootsy daily whaley.
A little more coffee.
Little
that
purpose happened. On tap, boy. Got his little snap back on.
Is it tap
strapped
on
way
on
too
tap?
High. Tapped on purpose. Whoop-ah. Dude, deep in that thing.
What?
Tapped on it, dude. Pumping the keg tapped of purpose. On. Pumping out some purpose, some frothy 16 yeah. O's of purpose. That's what we need in the world. A little more O's of perp.
That is, dude. Check this out. This is the best thing I bought on Amazon.
Ooh, is this a little like.
You can write on it's a pen.
Shave down pen. Oh, it's a pen.
Is that not sick?
I thought it was like a construction pencil.
Sick, isn't it?
Dude, so for the listeners here that have made it to, how many minutes are we at?
I don't know. It doesn't count by minutes. It counts by
1783 measures.
No, bars. 1,786 bars.
It's amazing because we also spit zero bars in the case of this.
There's been at least two.
Two bars?
Yeah,
maybe. Dude, one. Nice. We're barred out.
Ride.
Fired up. All right, Dale, we got to end this or we'll never end it. Are you going to cut some of this? How do you edit these or you just kind of let it rip?
They're raw.
Except for the part where you said that stuff that you couldn't say.
They're very raw.
Yeah, were you talking about that girl?
Yeah.
Dale's a pervert. Dale's a pervert. You better not cut this. Dale's a pervert.
Yeah, we'll leave that in here.
Woo, buddy. How many girls are mad at you right now, Dale? Like, if you had to guess on a scale of
1 to 100,
yeah,
at least 99.
99 women.
Yeah.
So you do have 99 problems.
No.
And bitches are all of them.
No. They're just mad at me. It doesn't mean they're a problem.
Oh, wow. 99 that's angry people. I only know one girl that's definitely mad at me. It's because I was a massive douche.
Yeah, pissed at me. Maybe like two.
Okay.
Maybe three.
Pretty good ratio.
I don't know. I feel like I probably piss a fair amount of people off, but sometimes you just gotta.
It's also like, dude, if you're gonna use your energy on that.
Could not be me.
Fair enough. Except for that one girl. She kind of deserves to be mad if she wants to be.
Yours?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know who that is, too.
Oh, for sure. Starts with a W, ends with an itney. Hey, if you're hearing this, I'm so sorry. I was a massive douche and in a terrible place. And you kind of pushed me to the breaking point. And then I broke and said a lot of mean things. So. You hear me? I'm so sorry. And I wish I could apologize in person, but I'm too much of a bitch to call you. So here we are. How do I even start that conversation? I don't know.
No idea.
Other
in
than,
or
hey.
Out. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dale. Hey, shake my hand, brother. That was a weird, awkward, offhanded handshake. Shake it with your right hand, man.
That was
man.
Nice. No, you got your left hand, dude.
That's the one you wipe with if you're a Roman.
Exactly. I'm Roman.
Oh.
All right. And we out.
Cool. Peace.